around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a tremendous joy for us to be with you today and to share, as always, from the Word of the Most High God. Needless to say, we need to be embracing the Word of God. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we need to get our lives disciplined so that we can become consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ for His service. If you're a Christian, you are to be in service for the Lord. Your life should be committed to Him. Your life should be yielded to Him. And He should be the focal point of your life in every sense of the word. I was listening to Kamala Harris the other day. She's one of the new Democratic presidential wannabes. And she mentioned Jesus in her statement, her announcement of her public running for the president of these United States. And then it comes out how she had this adulterous affair at the time, who was the mayor, I believe, of Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. And I thought, this is the deception. This is why we titled this conference The Age of Deception. This is the age. When you see the word age, it means a parenthetical time. And we're living in that time, dispensation, when the age and the time is so deceptive. You listen to people and their words, they'll have you believe they're a blood-bought, born-again child of God, abiding in the Word of God. The Word of God's abiding in them. How can the Word of God be abiding in someone's life and they commit the act of adultery on a perpetual basis? It's tragic. It is sad. But it's where we're living. What a tragedy. And regretfully, the sad story about all of this, it doesn't get better, folks. It just perpetually gets worse, worse and worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Think of that. Not only are these people attempting to deceive us, but they're being more and more deceived. This is the state. This is the condition. This is where we are. Governor Cuomo of New York, lauding, extolling, magnifying murder, as though murdering babies is something great. We should be clapping our hands. We should be lifting up our voices in agreement with this, because it's about a woman's health care. Yet they'll take a murderous, illegal immigrant, catch the man in murder, and what do? They put him in a jail, a prison. They house him. They clothe him. They feed him. They give him health care. They give him cable television. They give him a gym to work out in. And they don't take his life, yet he has taken someone else's life. And then an infant child. who is the personification of good. Even a baby, a newborn baby, doesn't even have an odor to their breath. Think of what I'm saying. And the innocence, the personification, the embodiment of innocence, and they will murder it. Take scissors and snip the spinal cord and kill it. Kill it. This is unbelievable. And without a doubt, God Almighty is going to judge America for the grotesque sins of our leaders and of our nation. That's the height of wickedness. Psalms 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." How can you murder the unborn and still decree you're a godly Christian nation? Even Obama said, "We are no longer a Christian nation." Because he was a Muslim. Who would have ever believed that a Muslim could betray, connivingly, deceptively, duplicitously become president and say on national television when George Stephanopoulos was interviewing him, and Obama said, "I want to thank John McCain for not making my Muslim faith an issue." George Stephanopoulos corrected him and said, "You mean your Christian faith?" "Oh, yeah," he said, "yes, I'm sorry, my Christian faith." This is where we are. This is the state. This is the air. This is the condition of a people that's departed from faith, a people that has renounced God, a people that has abandoned God and said, "God, we don't care about your morals. We don't care about your laws. First of all, I didn't set the standard. I didn't set the biblical code. God set the biblical code. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. You cannot fornicate. You cannot be a homosexual and enter into the kingdom of God." I didn't set the bar. God did. Of course, you'll never hear preachers preach against sin. Well, because sin is not popular in the context of identifying it and decreeing that it is evil. And if you live that way, you too are an evil person. You see, they don't want to believe anybody's evil. Well, Governor Cuomo is an evil man. If you don't believe that, then you're already an apostate. You're a reprobate. Because Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says, "They would call evil good and good evil." That's evil, my friend. That is terribly evil. It certainly isn't good. But they will say, "Oh, it's good because for the mother, she can have this child or kill this child. That's her choice." What about the child's choice? An innocent child, what about that child's choice in life? What if Nancy Pelosi and Governor Cuomo and these people, what if their mothers had murdered them? And they say, "Oh, it's just a blob. It's just a blob of tissue. That's all it is, nothing more." Ask the people that are standing on the Supreme Court steps ranting and railing for abortion. Is that what you were in your mother's womb, a blob? Look at you standing here with your faculties. You can hear, you can see, you can speak, you can smell, you can touch. "Well, that's different," they're going to say. It's not different. It's deception. It is deception at the highest level. It is tragic. It is sad. It is painful. It is sorrowful. And if you're not grieved in your spirit by what's taking place, I would encourage you to get a spiritual checkup. You need the spiritual checkup. It is imperative that you search your heart. What happened to right and wrong? What happened to conviction, personal conviction about sins? I want to take a moment to take a break and invite you to our conference, April the 5th through April the 7th at the Hickory Metro Convention Center.
Everywhere we turn, there's deception. And to help you better identify this deception, David Langford and the Voice of Evangelism has assembled a stellar lineup of speakers for their Age of Deception conference coming to the Hickory Metro Convention Center April 4th through 7th. Join David Langford along with world-renowned researcher and author Steve Quayle, Douglas and Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report, artificial intelligence expert Hugo DeGaris, Irving Baxter, host of the internationally syndicated biblical prophecy television program, End of the Age, along with Jimmy D. Smith and Russ Dizdar for the Age of Deception Conference, April 4th through 7th at the Hickory Metro Convention Center. You can make your reservations now online at thevoiceofevangelism.com. Registration fee is $100 per person. Find out more about the speakers and their speaking schedules at thevoiceofevangelism.com and make your reservation now to attend the Age of Deception Conference coming to Hickory, North Carolina at the Hickory Metro Convention Center, April 4th through 7th.
Let me invite you to put that on your calendar. Let me invite you, please, to register, come experience this conference. I know you'll be immensely and powerfully blessed by the truth. The truth. You see, the truth is still the only thing that sets men free. Last week, we concluded in our program in Matthew verse 34 of chapter 25. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. We were addressing the aspect of the generation. Not the length of the generation, but the character, the personage, what the generation would be like concerning the time of the end. We concluded, without a doubt, it would be a wicked, it would be an adulterous, it would be a murderous generation of people. And so it is today. I want to go back and review Luke chapter 7, verses 30 through 35, before we move on to verse 35 of Matthew 24. Luke 7, verse 30, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him, who? John the Baptist. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They're like unto children, sitting in the marketplace, and calling one to another, and saying, we have piped unto you, ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come, eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans, or tax collectors, and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. Jesus is describing the disposition of both he and John the Baptist. He says, we have piped as in a wedding, but you have not danced. He said, we have mourned as in a funeral, but you didn't bother to weep. He's decreeing that John the Baptist and I, the Lord's Christ, have given everything that we have, and yet you still criticize and you find fault in everything about our lives and our lifestyle. This present generation operates in the exact same manner and disposition. The exact same manner. The exact same disposition. The exactness begs description. And then you see Jesus in Luke 17 talking about the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you go back and you reread Genesis chapter 19 and you see the militant disposition and the arrogant disposition when Lot begged them, when they demanded of him, bring these two men, bring these two angels out that we might know them. They wanted to sexually sodomize and rape these two angelic beings. And Lot said, no. They said, you're going to be a judge to us? You're going to judge us, Lot? We'll do worse to you than what we intend to do to these two men who were angels. And the express purpose, the express reason in the angels' coming was to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. America is going to reach a place, a point in time, a threshold, wherein God says, I've had enough. I'm going to judge you. We see the profuse uncertainty and unfathomable inflation in Venezuela. We see all of these things, and somehow we keep pushing and advocating socialism. These people are demon-possessed. They're demon-possessed. Jesus was a capitalist. That's why he gave men different talents. He gave one man 5 talents. He gave another man 2 talents. He gave another man 1 talent. Did he take away from anybody to do that? No, he didn't. The man that he gave 5, doubled it. The man that he gave 2, doubled it. The man that he gave 1, he buried it. That's capitalism. Not everybody got the same portion. You would say to me, well, God's not just, God's not fair. Yes, he is. You're trying to judge God in your humanity. In our small, finite minds, we try to assess, we try to judge God. Can't do that. When Jesus said, John the Baptist and I have given everything that we have, everything that we have, but you didn't do anything that you should have appropriately done. You see, the Jews had no interest in the gospel. They had no interest in the truth. So it is in this generation. They have no interest in the gospel. They have no interest in the truth. We got preachers who claim to be ordained, sent of God, who will not preach the word of God. Truth today is scoffed, mocked, ridiculed as dirt. Truth is discounted. And I'm concerned. I am profusely concerned with the direction and the state that I see this nation taking. It is unbelievable. And men have become so bigoted. Men have become so arrogant, they think they know it all. Romans 1:22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's no greater display of foolishness in America than looking at our congressmen and senators and other leaders in this nation. Foolishness. Running this nation into the ground through deficit spending. Deficit spending. Spending more than you're taking in. This thing is going to collapse one day. I don't know when, but it only makes sense. You cannot pay off the indebtedness that this nation is facing. 10,000 people a day go on Medicare and Social Security. 10,000 a day. Today's program and then tomorrow's program will be 2 days. 20,000 people will have gone on Social Security and Medicare or Medicaid. Think of those numbers. America has borrowed so much money, we don't have the assets to pay the debt. We talk about trillions of dollars like we used to talk about millions of dollars. We don't rightly understand the magnitude and the gravity of the indebtedness. And say what you will, it'll never be paid. So how will it get resolved? How will it be removed? One or two ways. They'll create a new currency, and dollars will, of course, as they are now, worth nothing. Or there'll be a third world war, and that will eradicate all indebtedness, and you just start over. You say, that's not going to happen. Well, somebody needs to tell the Illuminatis and Albert Pike that's not going to happen. But they decreed three world wars. Two of them has come to fruition. World War One, World War Two. World War Three is just over the horizon. And you see, Paul said they would profess themselves to be wise, but they would become fools. Oh, I know better. That's what they say. I'm not saying that about myself. That is a rhetorical statement about those who are in leadership and authority. We know better. We know better. And they're always manipulating and mishandling the truth. Romans 1:25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. You see, the creature is none other than Satan. So they take God's truth and they twist it, they turn it into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and they worship and they serve the creature. Satan is a creature. He's not the creator. Jesus Christ is the creator. We are creatures. All of us are creatures. But they change the truth of God. Whatever God's truth is, they manipulate it, they change it. This nation, this generation, had rather embrace a lie instead of embracing the truth. Just the other day, they were out in the streets of New York, Fox News was, and they were asking people who they stood for. Mr. Ducey put a mic in front of a black gentleman's face and said, who are you for? He said, Bernie Sanders. He said, why? Health care for everyone. Mr. Ducey said, how will you pay for it? And this blank look came over the black gentleman's face. He just stood there smiling, but he didn't have an answer. And the lady beside him, she said, "I'll answer it." He put the mic in her face. She said, "Tax the rich." You cannot give somebody free health care without somebody paying for it. I cannot give you a free automobile unless somebody bought and paid for it. You say, "Well, let GM give it to me." Well, who's going to pay to build it? Who's going to pay for the transmission? Who's going to pay for the sheet metal? Who's going to pay for the carpet? Who's going to pay for the paint? Who's going to pay for the engine and the transmission and the tires and all the glass that goes in a car? Who's going to do that? It's asinine. The stupidity. And these are our leaders. These are our United States senators and congressmen. And they are so self-righteous, they will tell you and I, "We know what's best for you. We know better for you than you know for yourselves." Jesus was the personification of divine wisdom in his earthly ministry. Christ was without a doubt vindicated by the children that generation brought forth. The children that came out of the loins of those when Jesus Christ began his ministry at about the age of 30. And you see, those people that were bringing to fruition children when Jesus was 30, and they hated Jesus without a cause, after 3.5 years of his ministry, they crucified him. And let's just assume they crucified Christ when he was 33.5 years old. And let's assume that that person, that faction, that group of Sadducees and Pharisees, they all brought forth children that year. 40 years later, those children would be 40 years of age around 70 A.D. And what happened to that generation? They got slaughtered by the parents who brought them up in a state and mind of lawlessness, wickedness, and adultery. A wicked and adulterous generation, Jesus called them with rapidity. And they had their biological children and offspring. And 40 years later, they died horrific deaths at Jerusalem of the siege of Rome. Somebody is going to pay a horrendous price in the day of God's judgment. Whenever God allows judgment to come into the earth or come to a nation. Look with me, please, at Matthew 23, beginning at verse 29. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." See, this is a hypocritical nation. Hypocritical leaders. Hypocritical leaders, senators, congressmen, preachers, false prophets. They're hypocrites. "Because ye build the tombs of the prophets." Now, the parents not only conceived and brought forth biological children that would die 40 years later under the hands of Vespasian and Titus, they also built the tombs of the prophets and garnished the sepulchers of the righteous. And yet they said, "If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would have not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. So we're talking about the generation before these scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. He said, you are partakers with them. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. So prior to this generation in 33 AD, their parents before them, BC, before Christ, these are the children of the parents who garnished the sepulchers of the righteous, and then turn around and were, in fact, shedding their blood. Jesus said, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourself that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? You think Joy Osteen will ever preach, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets. Jesus is God. He sent the prophets and wise men and scribes. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecution. Or persecute them from city to city. This is what Paul the Apostle did before he was converted. You don't get anything by Christ. You don't deceive Christ. You don't trick Jesus Christ. He was God. I'm going to send you prophets and wise men and true scribes, not false scribes, not hypocritical scribes, but real scribes. And some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. They hung Peter upside down. He says, you're going to do this stuff, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechiah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. That generation went into 70 AD, and it was a bloodletting, a bloodbath. You're the children of those that shed the blood of the prophets. From Christ's birth to the following 40 years and the destruction of Jerusalem speaks of this generation. We are witnessing the same disposition, the same attitude, the same spirit. Now, there are those who tell you, Adolf Hitler being a Nazi, he's going to be resurrected. Adolf Hitler's not going to be resurrected. The devil doesn't have resurrection power, only Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the resurrection. However, that spirit that possessed and seized control of not only Judas Iscariot, not only Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, that spirit is still alive, and it's going to embrace somebody, and that somebody is going to do the same things, creating the same carnage. That's what you're going to see. There's going to be a spirit come into the Antichrist. It's called demon possession. Demon Demon possession. It's going to be a reality. You say, well, I don't know about that. Read it. John 13:27. When Jesus handed that piece of bread that he had dipped in the sop, handed it to Judas Iscariot, it says, then Satan entered into him. Satan is a fallen archangel. Angels do not possess men's bodies, but the spirit, a wicked spirit, went straight into Judas Iscariot. People say, Judas was never saved. That's a lie straight out of hell. How can you cast out demons and devils if you weren't a Christian? Read your Bible. He prayed all night. He sought the Father. He then ordained 12 disciples, whom became apostles. John 13:37, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. A spirit from Satan's pool, emissaries, minions, entered into Judas Iscariot, and he went out, and he sold, and he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It was a demonic spirit that went into Judas Iscariot. It wasn't the devil. He's a fallen angel. And we know that Judas was a part, an apostle of Jesus Christ, because Acts chapter 1, verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which by transgression Judas fell, that he might go to his own place. Judas fell. He was up here and he fell. He fell from grace. Falling from grace. He fell. Looking diligently, lest any man fall from the grace of God. I didn't say that. Paul the Apostle said that. You see, people won't rightly divide the word of truth. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fall or fail of the grace of God. Meaning, fall from grace. Read it. Go. I challenge you to look up the word fail in Hebrews 12:15, and it will say to fall from. What is he falling from? Grace. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God. People say, you can't fall from grace. You're calling the word of God a lie. You change the truth of God into a lie, and you worship and you serve the devil more than you do God. The devil is your father. The Bible says that Judas Iscariot had part of the ministry and apostleship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet people will say, well, he never was saved. You say that because you don't believe you can fall from grace. But my Bible says you can fall from grace. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. A spirit. And I don't have time to get into this, but it is no doubt the same spirit that has possessed men during their tenure of having demonic, satanic kingdoms in the earth. Egypt, Assyria, Babylonian, Greece, Rome, Medo-Persian. These are your 6 satanic kingdoms that have always been And then there's going to arise a seven. Revelation 17. Five are fallen, one is, and one is yet to come. There is a genetically DNA thread of all of these demonic kingdoms, and Satan is the father of them. John 8:44, ye of your father the devil. John 13:27, then Satan entered into him. Satan is an angel. He's not a disembodied spirit. He's a fallen angel. He does not possess men, but his cohorts, the spirits, the dark, deep spirits of the prince of the powers of the air, they work for Satan. They cast their lot with Satan. They embody men. They find a body and they dwell in it. And then these men take on that nature, whether it's murder, incest, whatever the case might be. This is where we are. That's why I know without a doubt, I look at some of these congressmen, some of these senators, some of these congresswomen, some of these senator women, or women senators, however you want to phrase it. They're demon-possessed. They are demon-possessed. And this generation is a generation that's full of demons. You got idol worship. You had a TV program. I don't know if it's still on or they've changed it. American Idol. People have made people idols. People have made people idols, and they literally, physically worship them. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greece, Grecian, Rome. These are your seven satanic heads. Revelation 12 and 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Those are going to be satanic kingdoms. There had previously been 5, and they were fallen. And John said, one is. Revelation 17:10. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. One is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So 5 are fallen. 5 satanic kingdoms have already fallen. One is. What was John saying? The one that was or is was Rome. Now it's gone. But there's coming a 7th. See? And when this 7th kingdom, it is a demonic kingdom, once it comes to fruition, it will only last for a short season. And then when this 7th head comes up, out of the middle of that head, you're going to see a little horn. On that head, you're going to see 10 crowns upon the heads of 10 kings. That's the finality. And then the Antichrist will arise in the midst of that. And Satan is going to give that man his seat, his power, and his authority. Not a man. There's nobody going to elect this man and put him in office. This is the endowment of power of Satan in this man's life. Revelation 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Who gave him this? The devil. Jesus offered this to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. He showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and of the world and the glory of them. He said, I'll give them to you if you'll fall down and worship me. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. these men are going to, these men are going to submit themselves unto the devil. This is sad. This is tragic. This is a reality. This is a reality, and it's tragic. It is so tragic. It is so sad. But this is where we are going. This is all coming. When you fast, when you pray, when you get into the presence of God, you will burn just like Isaiah did when God brought a coal from the altar. And what did he do? He touched his lips. Many people say, Pastor Lankford, you just preach too hard. You just too hard, period. Well, get in the presence of God like Isaiah and watch the angel get the tong and go to the altar and get a coal from off the altar, and he touched his lips and he purged him. And my God, how Isaiah preached and prophesied and decreed so many things, even the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I never failed to be amazed at the tepidness, the lukewarmness, the indifference of people who claim to be a Christian. You say, well, now you're judging people. Yeah, I'm looking for fruit of his spirit, and I don't see it. I see the fruit of the devil. I see the fruit of deception. I see the fruit of chicanery. I see the fruit of duplicity, but I don't see the fruit of the spirit. This is coming. We're in the throes of this right now. This nation is in such a peril that it's so dangerous. Don't you know without a doubt they want to destroy Donald J. Trump? They want to destroy anything that is even remotely close to righteousness or godliness or holiness. They want to destroy it. Look at how they pampered, patted, and protected Obama and lauded him and extolled him and talked about Michelle, this and that, just lauded and extolled and castigate, impinge, and degradate and demean Melania Trump and Barron Trump and all of them. Can't you see the deception? Can't you see the wickedness? Can't you see it? Don't you see it? Or do you not want to see it? Do you not want to see it? Don't you see the peril, the danger, the toil, the enormity of the snares? They're everywhere. They're trying to destroy everything. Listen, they were almost at the zenith. They were almost at the top of the hill. They were almost at the pinnacle of a new world order. And George Herbert Walker Bush in 1991 said, "We're on the precipice of a new world order." It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. It is unfathomable. As we watch all of this coming to fruition right in front of your eyes, right in front of your face, it how they want to snare. Mueller wants to snare everybody in a lie, in a deposition or a congressional hearing, but all of these Clintonites, Hillaryites, can lie, cheat, rob, steal, bleach bit, delete emails, forge a coup in this nation. And if you stand up for what's right, you're the criminal. You're the criminal. I want to say this. I don't know how many attorneys, I don't know how many judges listen to this program. I know there are some that do. FBI agents, police officers. I want to tell you something, every one of you. You're going to stand before God one day. I know. I've got friends that have been in the narcotic, undercover agents, police officers, highway patrolmen, and then they tell me how it is. You got politics in every level, and I see why it's hard for law officers in any stature. Even a licensed attorney is an officer of the court. A licensed attorney that's been licensed by his state that he practices law in, he's considered an officer of the court. When he walks into that court, he's an officer of sorts. Why are you bringing this up, Pastor? You better do what's right. Let me close with a passage of Scripture in the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel tells us why. Daniel tells us why Israel was in the rotten, stinking place that they were in. Listen to me. Daniel chapter 9. Let's start in verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us. Our judges that judged us. Judges, you judge us. You judge us in wickedness. You're helping to bring on the calamity of this nation. He hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. For we obeyed not his voice. Daniel tells us emphatically, the judges that judged us. I don't care if it's a district court, superior court, supreme court, state supreme court. You better judge justly and righteously. The ninth district, God help me to get off the soapbox today. Evil judges, wicked judges. And you wonder why we're in this state and condition when those judges, Roe v. Wade, I don't know who sat on the Supreme Court. I was a punk kid at about 18 years old, 17 or 18 years old then. Whoever those judges were that adjudicated murdering children, I dare say they're all dead. But those that cast their lot with the evil one, with the wicked one, with Satan, judge themselves right into hell. Every legislator in the state of New York that voted to kill babies, you're judging yourself right into hell. You say, that's harsh, that's hard. It's the truth. It is the pure, unadulterated truth. But fear not. Every child they murder is right at the master's feet and knees around the throne of God. Not one will be lost. Not one of those children will die and go out into eternity and forever be abandoned from God. No, God brings them to Him, and He will nurture them. He will raise them. They will grow up. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 5 says, in that day, little boys and girls will play in the streets of Jerusalem. It'll be a joyful time, a happy time. Children having fun, not worried about a mama murdering them in their womb. Today's womb has become nothing more than a tomb. And ministries and ministers won't say a word. Won't say a word. Won't say one word. Isaiah 58:1 says, spare not. Cry aloud. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their iniquities. Oh, I can't do that. That's not popular preaching. So you're in it for the popularity, are you? I said you're in it for the popularity. You're in it for the likability. Well, I want them to like me. I tell you who you better want to like you. God. Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. God says, don't you spare anybody. Judge, lawyer, doesn't matter. Tell them the truth.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.